the younger players, from like the Pedris, the Definitely, the next generation of the Masala, the academy there, you know, the Masala.
Hello and welcome back to the Lap Masala podcast. We're joined by Disco Abdul. I don't know what the fuck he's doing there, by the way. So I'm joined by my two pals again, Elliot and Carl. Say hello, boys.
How we doing, hello, everyone?
And we have got Abdul Mansaray, the mighty professional indoor footballer, the biggest idiot we've ever lived with. Abdul, what are you saying, bro? You good?
How's it going, fella?
AKA good, Big mate. Sexy, what are you saying?
Yeah, Big Sexy. Well, I mean, we were just talking off camera saying, like, we have got so many videos of Abdul that we'd love to, like, show, but we honestly can't. There's one in particular where...
I'll cut every man off, I'm not even guessing.
Elliot caught him wanking. It's so funny, man.
You know, I've got a girlfriend now, and you're just here trying to.
Yeah, this was time. This is ages ago. And then he's just going, and then he just stops, swipes.
I've got one of him in the shower actually. I sneaked in on him in the shower, and I tell you, it's true what they say. He's fucking long in the shower.
Yeah, you were proper long in the shower. There's that video I've got of you, you're just chasing Abdul around naked in the front room of fucking
Willis. Right, so when I tell my family to watch this, I'm going to tell them.
Skip the first 10 minutes.
Just tell them to skip the first 5 minutes.
There you go.
We were going to do a little review of the teams, but we can't even be arsed because fuck all's happened, has it? Like, it's the same old Albion lost again. Spurs are still shit. Bournemouth are going to the playoffs. We want to talk about your team, Abdul. So, Abdul, he's a big Chelsea fan. So, Abs, talk to me about Tuchel.
All right, hold on. The boy Tuchel. All right, Chelsea.
Hang on, sorry, Abs. Obviously, Abs is in season, but he won't be drinking. So, L, Cal, what we got?
Oh, no, I'll be drinking. I got some coffee right here.
Oh, shut up, you div.
I'm going to be honest. I'm on the H2Os because I'm...
Okay, is it because of last week with that shed?
Oh, yeah. Have you recovered?
I mean, I have got a different outlook on life now, but no, I'm having a few beers later on, so I thought I'd take it easy now, you know.
Oh yeah, here it is.
God. I'm driving.
Why take it easy now?
I'm driving there, so...
Yeah, I'm driving.
Yeah, just have a couple.
Seven with a seatbelt.
No, yeah. I drink after I've driven, not before. Come on.
Anyway, Abs, Chelsea, talk to me. You look on fire.
Oh, fucking hell. I've got a sorcery IPA, by the way, so fuck you, Gaz.
That is the... I'm not going to say it. We'll get cancelled. Go on, Abs.
So, Tuchel. I think I can't give it down to the player. Tuchel's system right now, that three in the back, those two brutes in Zuma and Rudiger, plus the absolute just captaincy leadership of Thiago Silva. Beautiful. I've never liked defending. I'll be honest. Defending has never looked so good on Chelsea. That's the main. I've got to be honest.
You love defending. I played with you. You love tracking back.
I've got to be honest. This is probably the best I've ever seen Rudiger and Christensen and Zuma.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but let's be like this. I said the other day. See that tweet I did say, like, someone was like, Rudiger's better than Maguire. What? Just because Tuchel's made him look better? Let's be honest. Rudiger is pretty average. Like, he's all right, isn't he? Like, he's just an all right defender. Tuchel's sister,
by the way, he's from my country in Africa. He's one of my favorite players. And even I agree with what you're saying. I'll be honest. Yeah.
It's like, mate, he is different level, any two. So do you reckon what first do you think you're gonna win the cup and then do you think you win the Champions League?
I think we definitely win the cup, but Champions League
confidence.
No, man. I don't see Pep going over there and making it easy for us, I'll be deadly honest. And Pep team is as well. But for once, I'll be honest, when it comes to Chelsea, usually I've got this underdog kind of status in my mind, but this one, I think, is all for grabs. I'll be honest. I couldn't tell you that. I think we're definitely going to win it.
So what do you reckon's changed with Lamps leaving and Tuchel coming in and turning it up?
Lamps,
I think Lamps.
Lamps kind of brought.
I don't know this old school kind of mentality that you need a starting 11. I think that's been the big difference. We have a squad now. Like, we always had a squad, but with Lampard, it was like we had this player playing, this player playing. If this player plays bad, just like the old school days. If this player plays bad, now he comes off and somebody else replaces him until we lose again. Then it's just so outdated. Now, and came in this kind of rotation. You're seeing Havertz coming in. He doesn't play every single game, week in. But every single time he comes in games where he's effective, it just seems like just a well thought out system compared to
Lampard. That's what it is. It's a system, isn't it? Lampard clearly didn't have a system or...
Lamps.
I don't know. He didn't seem it anyway. Like, just quickly on that, I want to just say, I didn't realise how much money Lampard spent in the summer.
And then,
what were they? Ninth. That just goes to show what we were talking about the other day. It's not like everyone's going, "Oh, Pep spent all this," but it's not that easy, then, is it? It's because why weren't Chelsea fucking flying under Lampard? But what do you two think? Actually, I don't think we discussed who do you think will win the Champions League.
I do fancy City, really, just because. But then again, like, Chelsea look to be City's kind of little bogey side at the moment, so. If Chelsea are going in massive underdogs and they've looked quite impressive the last couple of weeks, they could cause them some problems. But I don't know. I do fancy City to turn up.
Yeah, my heart's saying City because I can't stand Chelsea, but my head is sort of telling me that I think Chelsea might nick it because, like Cal said, I think that as much as City are such a dominant side and Guardiola's obviously tasted defeat before.
Not in a final, I don't think he's ever...
No, but I mean, obviously, like, he's tasted defeat with Chelsea before this season. I don't think that will affect him as much, but I do think it will have the tiniest bit of effect, more of an effect than people maybe think it will for as dominant as City are. But, man, I think it'll be a good game. Like, I think if Chelsea had, like, a killer up front, I think it'd be an even better game.
Yeah. I think it'll be very tactical. But, like, the way I look at it, my head's on the chopping block. So I've said for months they're going to win it. So, and I've got to stick with that. A part of me does think maybe Tuchel's got Pep's number, but then I also think City have never played a full-strength side against Chelsea yet under Pep, have they? So I think when the Champions League comes around, it'd be a different story.
And you say about Tuchel having Pep's number as well. I see people like Tuchel's got like 100% win record over Guardiola this season, but they've also played each other in the past with other teams and Guardiola's won. So it's not just this is the only time they've ever played against each other, because they've played against each other with other sides and Guardiola's won. So, I mean, I'm not sure it'll be that big of a thing, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited, put it that way.
Yeah, it will be a good game. I wish it was in England, but it looks like it's going to be Lisbon because
they want all the delegates
to fucking be there, don't they?
Such bullshit, man.
Anyway, we'll go on to Abs now, big sexy himself. So, Abdul, we'll just start from the beginning, bro. Growing up in London on the street, brother, get out to America.
Oh, in fairness, Abs, you've got a pretty mad... upbringing in terms of like different places and stuff. So in terms of football, talk to like us about, I mean, obviously you've spoken to us about it, but let's go into detail about, like, you know, you, where you were born and when your football journey sort of started and then to going out to America.
Weirdly, I only started playing football when I was like 9 years old. Like, I was very late because just a quick background, I was born in the United States of America, which I'm in now. I got taken over to Sierra Leone when I was like 1 year old, which kind of happens to a lot of people with African descent, because I don't know, it's happened to a lot of my cousins where we'll go and live in Sierra Leone for like the start of our lives kind of. And then I ended up going to London when I was about like 8 years old, and that's when I started playing football. But yeah, like playing football, the first few years of my life, I never really played for a team or anything like that. I've always been kind of raw. I've always played in
the street.
You know, that's the main thing. I say I'm from, because like I never really, even my first team that I ever tried to go into, I think I was like 11 years old, my aunt couldn't actually pay for the team. You know how you have to pay like 100 for the jersey. Yeah, literally, my aunt came and tried to tried to like scam the coach and be like, oh yeah, I'll pay. Here, have my email. Didn't pay the guy back. The guy was not having it. The guy was like, nah, you listen, we'll give you some socks because your aunt paid like £50 or something like that. Tried to get on this storm and they gave me some socks and I think like a shirt or something like that.
No never, sure.
They didn't even let me play. They didn't even play me. And I think it was only until I was like 14 that I actually started playing real competitive football. The rest was all just playing in the street, playing in Chelwood. Big up Chelwood.
Chelwood FC.
And that's really it. Started playing semi-professional when I was like 19. Till I was 19, or like 18, 19. And then it was 19 I actually came over to the state. But yeah, real background.
Do you want to just quickly touch on, obviously that was your little upbringing, but we did have some questions, Roy. Do you want to just touch on how you got to Stoke with the company you did? And also quickly, the first question I got was, have you paid them back yet?
Ask for soccer, I ain't paid them back.
Abs, they're gone. They're not getting any money.
Abs, you finessed them, bro.
You finessed the shit out of them, bro.
I'm trying to tell you, I won a lot of races in my life, but this one, getting away from these, bro, was the best win of
mine. Did it feel good, Abs?
Oh, so let me Pass for Soccer is a scholarship
agency.
Yeah. So went over there, did the trial and all that kind of stuff, and then once again, I pulled my arts trick because I didn't have much, so I wanted to go to America, and they're telling me 1,000 or something like that for America. I didn't even have a bank account. You lot would know this because you lot saw me get my first bank account when I went to America. I didn't even have a bank account, let alone, you know what I mean, little saving account or something that I can put. I went up to my sister. I was like, listen, I need to get into this trial. Like, they're telling me right now that they know I can't pay and all that kind of stuff. They're willing to sell for $300 for me to go to this trial. Where all the coaches are going to be? My sister was like, cool. I think my sister even got it from like my niece's school fund or something like that. Ended up getting me there. Did the trial. And then I remember after the trial thinking, one, my sister, I'm not calling my sister again for another $300. And she says yes. I tried. I knew she was just gonna be like, oh yeah, I got you. And not, I know my family. I was like, how am I gonna do this? They're emailing me week after week. It went to the point they even emailed Coach Nick. They were emailing me, oh, what's good, Mr. Manchester, you still have a fund that you need to think. This, that. It took my uncle to have to call them up and be like, so did he sign anything? This was when I thought they were going to get him. I thought I was actually going to court. They were talking about court, all this kind of stuff. They said, he said to them, did he sign anything? And then they said to my uncle, no, he didn't sign anything like legally. And then he just hung up the phone and they never hit me back up again.
That is unreal. Lucky.
That's so good, mate. I always wonder with that stuff, like a lot of the agencies, and this is why we've kind of promoted the one that Elle went through as well, just because a lot of the agencies do just absolutely like take people for mugs and they try and like take as much money.
Come on,
crazy. But it's not so. Realistically, they should be thinking, we're going to get these kids out, better their lives, get a degree, get a good scholarship. But it's most of the time, it's just fleece them for as much money as possible.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
some lads in the DMs.
I did the majority of the work. Yeah. I was when it comes to the SATs. I didn't even tell you guys this story really quickly. For my SATs, I had to wait out. I had to literally get an early coach because there was no other coaches during the day. I got a coach for about 4 a.m., taking me to this weird place outside London. Still don't even remember the name. It was like I had to get a coach from London all the way to this outside. I didn't know where it was. I didn't have enough money for like a hotel or anything like that to stay in or nothing like that. I stayed in a bus bench until I had to go to my SATs thing.
Fucking fair play to you, Abs, mate. That's fucking good.
What a boy. Honestly, Abs is like the biggest hustler ever. Abs, just quickly, do you remember the ones, right? I'll never forget your face walking in, right? You went to the shop, right? And I was like, oh, Abs, get me some milk, will you, bro? And I gave him my card and I was like, oh, I honestly think there's about a dollar or something on this card. I don't know if there's enough for milk. And it was like, it was either pouring down the rain or snowing or something. You walked in the shops, you came back and you're like, there weren't enough on your card, bro. And I was like, I'm so sorry. You like, your face is like, you were a fucking idiot, man. I had to pay for it in that. And I was like, sorry, bro. I didn't know how much was on there. Oh, God. I've got so many fucking...
Hold on, wait. Give me 1 second. Oh, you might want to put this up. Give me 1 second.
He's shorts. He's still got his shorts.
Those pajama bottoms are so good.
Yeah, so Abs, we'll just go on now. It's obviously then you come out to America, William. You were late, weren't you, coming over? Because I remember Coach Nick saying, oh, you've got
to my life,
fucking Abdul. And I was like, I don't know why, in my head, I had like a tall, skinny Asian guy in my head. Because like anyone I've ever met called Abdul, he's like either Indian or Pakistani or whatever. And then I just see you turn up and you're like, yo, what you see? I've got them glasses on. I was like, she's the weirdest guy I've ever met in my life. And then we just, obviously, you room with Connor.
What a bloke he was, fucking hell.
I'm pretty sure the first day was I nearly had a fight with Connor and you were like, what the fuck is going on here? Do you remember that?
I can't remember that.
Cal, you do. Me and Connor were just arguing while I was cooking in the kitchen.
And can I say, by the way, my what word can I use for this? My first year was torment by this guy Garrett. I'm gonna be deadly honest. Like I think I've told you about this before. I had a little Garrett voice in the back of my head because this guy used to torment me. Like, because when I first came, like where I'm from, there's banter. But not like wherever he's from. I don't know what they do.
Wherever he's from.
And just anything I would do, he's just on me. I'll hear him screaming, laughing or something like that. If I miss a shot, he's laughing. If I do anything, I don't do a fight, he's laughing.
The funniest.
I remember literally wanting to fight him. And then I remember having a conversation with him. Remember we had that conversation at the end of the year where we kind of just like sat down and kind of like, I think it was right before I left or you left. And then we had like, and then you were just like, bro, where I'm from, we do that to the people we like the most. And I was like, what?
Yeah. I thought you were so funny. Like just like me and Cal used to be like, he's that little cute. And do you remember the ones I woke you up? I come in with my phone and I was like, morning, and you're like, yo, bro, get the fuck off me. I'm like, I'm trying to kiss you on the cheek. And you're like, yo, no, get the fuck off me. I'm just recording it. And then I remember there's like little things like we'd slap your ass with me, and you're like, yo, what the fuck you doing, man? But then in the end, Abel, you were the one slapping my bum, weren't you, mate?
No, I wasn't. Don't do that. My friends are watching. Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, random.
I remember, to be fair, Abs, we'll touch on like your first impressions of us. But mm-hmm. I remember meeting you for the first time. I think it was the first time I met you was at the complex, right? But there was some event going on at the complex. I can't remember what it was, but all I remember is like you had like a backpack on and there was like a spread on, like a food, and obviously like you were there for the free food. I don't know how, I can't remember whether it couldn't have been homecoming because you didn't come out that late.
It was definitely the free food.
When did you come out? Was it September or was it August?
It was September.
Or maybe it was September. Maybe it was homecoming then. Because I remember meeting you, like it was a sort of group of us stand here, and you literally just like had a backpack on, you just absolutely destroying this bag of crisps, like munching away, and I was like, "Are you right, man?" He's like, "You like, you right? What are you saying?" I was like, "Oh, you're Abdul, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, you good?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm good." And that was it. And he just stood there and just carried on munching. He's like, proper eyeing up the grub, like, you're like nicking your grub. But then obviously you lived in them too, so obviously I lived across the road.
Yeah, you basically lived there as well, didn't you? You and Fred.
Yeah, we'd always come over and just absolutely batter you at FIFA. But
yeah, you were so bad at FIFA. How many games did we used to play at FIFA and you just could never win? Like, you get so annoyed.
But the
funny thing with Abdul, a lot of the time he'd go like 2-1 up and then he's giving it loads, like, and I'm like, okay. And then I win. He's like, no, this game's fucking shit, man. This game's go in his room. And then he'd go in his room to play Connor because he knew he could beat Connor.
No, but the funny thing is, like,
we did have a laugh though, didn't we? In that fucking hour.
I loved it. Like, I made some lifelong friends over this, but you guys, Philippe, and the funny thing is, in all the boys that you guys have already, obviously, you've already got on this podcast and all that kind of stuff. All of them just as funny stories and how I met them, all that kind of stuff. That was so good about with me. And just to touch on what, like, the question L asked me about, like, my impressions of when I met you guys. When I first met L, I'd had so many stories from Tom about how weird L was. So I think in my head, I was just like, I'm not ready for this guy right now. I'm hungry. I remember hearing so many stories of L from Flip, from Tom and Fred, that when I met L, like, I remember just looking. I really just thought I was just going to meet some joke, man. I remember, like, the way they were talking about you was like, this guy is just funny and weird. And I was just thinking, this
good time for him.
That's so true.
What about the other two?
Cal, I met him sleeping on our floor, hungover from a night out in UD.
I remember that.
And I remember... I was like, yeah, my name's Cal. And the funny thing is, this is the funniest.
You said my name's Cal.
No. The funny thing about when I met Cal was he was laying down, so I didn't see the whole of him. I just saw someone laying down. So, like, he was laying down, and I was like, oh, what's good? You all right, mate? And you're like, yeah. And then he started getting up, and he's talking to Gaz. And I'm telling you, I just saw somebody come up to, like, here. I'm sitting down. See. And I was like,
the rest of it.
Wait, does Wilmy have a youth club? What?
Wait, okay, Abdul, how tall is he? Abdul, he's like 2 foot tall, isn't he, man?
You're like 2 foot two.
I was like, but like, what is the rest of it?
Oh,
but yeah, that first time I met Cal, you just like, and he just came in and started telling us this story about how he took this girl off our ex teammate. Jamie Burridge. And
that one. Yeah, no.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Take a picture on L.
Play the clip. I've got a clip.
Yeah, we have got a clip of you with your fucking cock out.
So good.
So, obviously, yes, we're trying to be a bit more serious now. You had to redshirt in your first year with me and Cal, so all three of us were redshirting. So people watching, if you don't know what that means, so like you can redshirt for different things. So like if you haven't been in school for
you've been for school year, over 2 years, yeah.
Or if you've played for money, or there's different things. But obviously us three had to redshirt, so us three like 10. I mean, I can't remember if Abs. I actually can't remember you coming out with as much. You tended to be more. Or did you? I can't actually remember. You just tend to be with Connor more, like that first year. Like me and Cal were kind of going out all the time. I swear you did. Or did you? I can't remember.
I used to come to the parties and stuff.
I'll come sometimes, but you need to remember when I first came into America, the funds weren't saying much in that account.
You're still
waiting for that student loan to drop.
Honestly, every week Abs will be like, wait till the student loan drops. I'm going to get a laptop. I'm going to go to Miami. I'm going to do that.
I always remember it used to be like, I'm going to get all of Mandem pizza.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that pizza.
And we'd be like, Ab, do you think you should buy a book for that class? And he's like, I'll get that. Then he comes along. He's like,
I'm trying to understand.
What was that class he was going to fail? FYE, first year education. All you have
I failed it. Basically
is turn up to get a pass and buy the book. That's all you have to do. And Abdul failed it because he didn't buy the book. That's one of the best things ever.
Unreal Abs.
So, yeah. Alf, did you...
Yeah, so back to the serious point.
Yeah, sorry. It's just too funny, man. Like, he's just so he's just too cute, man. Look at him. So, obviously, we were all redshirting, and I always remember, like, I think we've touched on it before, how, like, obviously, Coach kind of gassed me up and it, all that, and I was always like, fucking hell, no one's speaking about Abdullah. Like, I don't understand that. People don't clock how good he is, kind of thing. And then, obviously, our year then comes around and you just fucking go off, have an unbelievable season. Did you get rookie of the year, or do you got something in it? Were you sure?
No, I've got, like, obviously, the... conference award.
Yeah.
But like the rookie of the year that year, I think he did, like, I mean, yeah, he just got a lot of goals. He's won.
Oh,
like,
yeah, because your first season
for Naya.
Yeah, Abs, your first season was when we went out in the first round of national conference title. So then obviously it was literally like a few people and you went to the banquet, wasn't it? Like the ones that got awards. Mm-hmm. Like, you, Lorne, Vinny, and that.
Because what I was going to ask you, Abs, is do you think it helped you going into that season with kind of like no expectations? Because like at the start, you weren't really a star. And then as soon as you got your chance, you just cemented it. And like you and Lorne were just like our only real like output, really, like just banging in goals left, right and centre. I mean, I'd say you were probably our best player that year, maybe. I don't know who won player of the year for us.
I'll be honest. One thing about me that I've realised is that I don't really need much motivation on apart from the game. Like when it comes to my like competitive nature, I always feel like that's where my stats come from. Like it usually comes from retaliation. Like that particular season, I think I got like eighth in the
nation.
Game winning goals, because like that's just where my game comes from. Like I can switch off, but then once we're losing or once I realise the game ain't going our way, that's when, even if I'm playing badly, I'll just start running around and trying to...
I always found you horrible, like, to play against, to be fair, Abs. As much as shit as I'd give you, like, just because I'd love to wind you up as much as possible, but you just fucking don't stop. And it's horrible to play against people like that. They're just going to constantly go at you all game. Yeah. Obviously, I'll just get a shoulder across and just move you anyway. But like, if that happened, then...
In training, you always hard. I mean, in training, we had like some good battles. Like we'd always get onto each other. I remember that, especially your red shirt year.
I do it with people now. Like that's the thing. Like I get the most fun when it's the talking and the back and forth. Yeah. And that's why I like to. And that's what I like about everyone that I'm still in contact with now. I had a bit of that with, and I think that's like all the people that I seem to get along with the most. We've always talked shit to each other, and nearly to the point that we've fought. Me and Cal, I think we actually did. Me and Garrett nearly definitely fight. Me and Elliot nearly fought. Me and Joe nearly fought. Me and Lorne always do is flipping. We used to bick at each other like. That's just my favorite kind of football.
Yeah.
When it's like getting at each other, pure, just like unfiltered, just shithousery on the field, but on the pitch, but then after, just best friends.
That's why it's always better. I mean, I remember obviously everyone was like talking shit to each other when we were training and stuff, but when it came to match days, when we had like, well, me, Garrett, Abs and a couple of other lads all being exactly the same way. Like it used to be absolute carnage. We used to wind so many teams up. It was fun.
Because it comes from, like I explained to you, Abs, even off the pitch, like it does come from a place of love. Like we're only getting at each other and going at each other because we all want the same goal and we all want to achieve the same thing. But also the same, like you saying, I've never met anyone like him, like the way he was tormenting me. Abs, like I never used to do that to Connor because I didn't really like him. I didn't want to interact with him. Whereas you, I found it funny and fun to want to take the piss out of you and go at you because I liked you and I wanted to spend time with you. And I think in the end, you obviously clocked it and then you're like, yeah, I understand what you mean now, but I've just never experienced it.
Yeah, I was.
But to be fair, I remember the ones in training. I think I was playing up front with you and Loyo kept like smashing you and you like, what the fuck's he doing? I was like, Abs, you got to take it as a compliment, mate. He's kicking you because he can't get near you. And you were like, oh, yeah, I get you. But just going on what you were saying, Cal, with Abs. I don't want people to get the impression that, oh, Abs is just like some nuisance runner, because he was technically very, very good. That was the thing with Abdul. That's why he was so like successful. And that's why he's doing what he's doing. That, like, you're playing indoor, man. You can't play indoor unless you're technically gifted. So Abs was just non-stop, a bit thick, let's be honest, a bit thick.
Oh, but still.
Like the amount of times I'd hear coach just going mad at him because he fucked up the corner routine or something. Like,
I'll tell you what, some of them corner routines, I don't think we've ever like touched on this actually, but corner routines at us anyway were mental. I've never been at any other club that's done anything like that. That's so like stringent. Yeah, they work. I don't know why they don't. No one else uses them, to be honest. But
like even little things like blocking people off, like you see in basketball, we obviously use. You don't see that in England, man. I think we spoke about this in America. Like, it's amazing. Other teams in England don't use shit like that. But I mean, luckily for me, I remember the odd time, if I wasn't taking a corner, I just used to guess where to run. I didn't have a fucking clue what I was doing.
In fairness, the actual routines, they were detailed, but they were pretty straightforward. They were quite.
But there were so many of them as well, weren't there? There was like that six. Was probably.
Very straightforward.
All I needed to know was where X. I'm kicking it front, middle, or back. Like, that's it.
Yeah. No, and then Abs as well. Someone would play him a through ball and he just wouldn't even be looking at the ball. He'd just be running, like, hoping it would go. I'd be like, what is he doing?
Can I just...
No, but then he'd always end up with the ball. He'd be like, what are you moaning for? I'd be like...
Yeah.
Abs, how did you find pre-seasons and stuff like that out in the States? Oh, we talked about it before. Like, obviously, it's carnage and it's hard and... difficult, but did you find it tough? Because you always came in like great shape, so I didn't know if it was.
You're quite naturally fit, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say I'm naturally fit, but definitely not like Elliot or Fred level. I'll be honest, like it was when I came there that I realized that, like, I'll be honest, coming to United States was a big awakening for me, because where the kind of football I was playing before, it was like fitness was, oh, just get yourself fit and all that kind of stuff. You realize that, yo, like that.
You can't.
There's fitness. Then there's being completely ready to play at a high level.
I feel like here as well. I feel like here it's more like, oh, keep yourself ticking over, lads. Like, sort of just like keep your fitness at a good level, as opposed to like get fitter. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Whereas for America, I felt like I needed to get fitter than my normal fitness sort of going in. You know?
I think it's no coincidence. Like me and Calla both said, we both had our best seasons when we felt the fittest. Like, it's no. I think that's one of the main differences to like elite players and like good players is the skill level's probably not massive, but the fitness levels are. When it gets to the 80th minute, they can still do it at the same intensity and pace where the others are dropping off. That's the massive difference, I think, in football.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Like, even Oscar, when I realized, like, if there was supposed to much, I'll be do a stat on how many goals I scored in the first half compared to second half. Most likely, second half was always like. Time I'd usually score, because that's when legs are going down, and then I've ran that player maybe about five times, missed missed nearly all my shots. But those runs, I never realized how effective they are until second half.
I think one thing we do want to touch on as well is we got asked a few questions about it. Was like the actual life of being at uni, so like mixing between the football and the work side, and going to school and doing all of the football stuff and the meetings and all that kind of stuff. How did you find that, like, getting on every day? Like, did you find it difficult? Or did you find it, like...
Horrific.
Yeah, you found it quite hard, yeah.
Horrific. For me, personally.
There is a lot to fit in, isn't there? Like, if you're trying to play football every day, as well as classes, as well as coursework, as well as travelling, as well as game time, training, all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
It's... For you, for guys like you, who I feel like you got... One thing I really admired about you guys was that you always had like really good heads on your shoulders. Like, you always seemed like you had everything organized and all that kind of stuff, which was something I always struggled with. I struggled.
I don't know about myself, Abs, but
Abs is struggles.
Last minute. Like, Cal was definitely the most organized. Then I'd probably say me, but then.
Yeah,
Elliot was nearly as bad as you, Abs. I'm not even bantering, but we helped you quite a lot, Abs. I think, for sure. You got a lot better in that first year. I think
I still ain't finished. I'm still waiting to finish. I'm gonna transfer some. I've only got a few more credits. I'm gonna transfer them over here, and I'm gonna do my classes here.
Yeah,
but I'll be honest, I wouldn't have got most of my credits if it wasn't for you. Shout out Joe and Lorne. I don't know how they haven't come up yet. Joe and Lorne were the absolute plugs. Yeah. Shout out Joe Lawn, my boy, and Ben. Ben used to.
Did he help you?
Don't help Bobby.
No, me and him used to do study tables together. And
yeah, them two used to bounce off each other, like come up with unreal ideas and that. Like.
He'd be like, but, yeah, tomorrow we'll take over the world.
It's never been my strong suit. I've always been that kid that would wait until break time or lunchtime to play football. I've always been that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I'm growing up, I'm kind of understanding myself a bit more and realizing that not all paths are for you, but there is some certain paths that need to be taken, just like me getting my degree. And this is all the people that you watch this are trying to get into it.
Yeah.
Well, I hate school. I know I need to do it, but still don't beat yourself up for it because you're good as everybody else in the school, because that might just not be your strong suit.
Yeah, 100%.
No, I feel like as well, like I know he said it's a lot to juggle, and I feel like it is, but we've had a few DMs from lads that want to go out to America that are saying like, oh, I'm not very good academically, oh, I wouldn't say I'm very clever and stuff like that. I actually reckon out of our team, the 4 years I was there, I'd say the majority of the players on our side weren't academically strong in a sense, were they? Like, I'd say like it's more like what you put into it. Like, I'm not saying all of us like absolute brainiac, but like,
yeah,
you know, we were able to get through classes and do the work. But obviously our main focus was obviously the football. So obviously, like, if you're failing classes, that's not good. But I think for the most part, we all helped each other and we had like resources.
That's the point.
To use at the uni to like help you as well. And
that's the thing now. Like, if you're struggling, like, how many times did we help each other with shit? Or like, Cal, do you remember the ones we did? I had that test and like it was recording. You sat to the side of my laptop just Googling the answers for me. Like, you just, like, there's always ways around it. Like, obviously, you cheat or do whatever. Like, and to be fair, a lot of Wilmington was pretty easy. Like, a lot of the tests are open book. So for the people watching, that means you can literally go in with an open book, so textbook or a laptop. So if you've got a quiz, you're just fucking Googling or whatever. But like I say, we'd help Abs or like there's always help at the uni that they'll get you through. Like, especially if you play a sport, because like you probably do get slightly preferential treatment where they want to help
definitely
you in order so you can play. So for the lads who are thinking about going out and thinking, oh, I'm not very clever at this and that, there's always ways around it. Like, it's just part and parcel. I think that the longness of doing the work is worth it for the football side, to be playing every day with your mates, and like, it's worth it.
But one thing I did want to touch on, when we used to do the meetings and stuff, we'd have a lot of stuff either pre-game or post-game or just general meetings to like get to know everyone and kind of that kind of stuff. And I remember one time, I can't remember what the meeting was, but we had this meeting and there was loads of Girl Scout cookies that were being handed out to people. And we were all sat there and it's a proper meeting and everyone's in a half a circle looking at coach and he's having this conversation, talking about stuff. But I can't remember what happened. I mean, one of these
was like in the background, slowly opening a packet and trying to munch him.
While he's talking.
Yeah, well, obviously, no. He told him, like, don't touch these like, cookies until the end. Like, you avoid these cookies. And Abs is just in the background, like, do-do-do-do. And then Coach is like, literally, we've experienced probably, like, non-league coaches who are just fucking mental, like, going mad. That is one of the worst, like, going mads I've ever seen, ever, from a coach. Everyone didn't know, like, where to look.
It's one thing getting bollocks, like, one-on-one, isn't it? But then when you're in front of people, like, everyone's just silent, just watching the chaos, like, ensue.
Well, the best bit about it was, he said, he goes, fucking eat it, fucking eat it. And yeah. I was just looking around, like, should I eat it?
That's so true. He was like, Oh, you want to fucking eat the cookie? Eat the fucking cookie then. Eat the fucking cookie. And Abzi's like, whoa.
Everyone's next to him like, don't eat the cookie.
Don't eat the fucking cookie, Abdul. Fucking eat it. That was so good, man. To be fair, Coach did used to get onto you so much. Like, shit, like, for example, like, honestly, I'll be honest. I could do the same thing as you and he wouldn't get mad at me. Whereas you, he's like on to you. Like, you can get away with anything. But I also think that might, do you reckon that kind of helped you in a way of I'm constantly wanting to prove him wrong and prove yourself. Do you know what I mean?
I had this exact conversation yesterday. I realised a big coincidence in all the teams I've been in, plus the team I'm in now. When it comes to me, I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I'm to coaches, I'm doing good. Okay.
Yeah.
But always a level that they think I should be at that I'm not reaching.
Yeah.
So I even watched the other day I was watching an old game back. Anytime I'm on the ball, coach's voice increases if it's Elliot, get that. I don't like me. It's just complete bellow because he had the things I'm not listening to him. Was I don't know what it is, and it happens here as well in coaching in training. I think I was the most this particular season. I was the most screamed at in training. Like when it comes to the way he would give me my instruction, like, you should know this. Get off the field.
Like, yeah, training's intense though, man, isn't it? Especially where we were like train. If you don't come 100% every day, like you're gonna get it basically.
Or you're running.
Or you're running. It's hard.
And do just think abs, like, what Garrett said, I definitely think it did help me become the player, because like I don't know, it's like anytime I play now, I always feel like there is that kind of level that I need to hit, whether or not I think I'm playing good or not, because I don't know, the coaches seem to always want more from me. Whether I think I'm doing well or not, they never seem to just let me vibe out.
I think as well,
it's let me vibe out.
I think it works well in a team, right, as well. Like, I think that it was good the team we had, because obviously the older we got, and like say like our senior year, I know coach used to get on us, but sort of like player to player, it wasn't really coach like Kaney knew. Oh, where's he gone?
Oh, I'm back. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I think it works quite well. Like you were saying, obviously coach used to get on you, and I think I sort of from memory, I think it happened a lot more in like your freshman and sophomore year and stuff like that. But then obviously our senior year, I know coach did used to cane us a bit, but I think player to player, he wasn't on you as much, because like we'd obviously lived with each other, we'd played with each other for years, so like we'd get on each other and sort of demand it from each other, as opposed to coach having to get involved and be like, abs, do this, do that, because we'd be doing it instead, you know. But like in like a constructive way as well, obviously we did used to get annoyed with each other at times, but like I think it, like you said, as much as when we first went there, I thought, oh, he's a bit harsh, like constantly getting on him. But I think he sort of knew as well, like you could take it. So,
that's what I wanted to touch on, because like I think, coach maybe knew, because like first, did it bother you? Or because if that was me, abs, right? Maybe that's why he didn't do it to me, because he knew. I'd be like, can you shut the fuck up and let me play? That's what I would have been like if I was in your position. But you, I never heard you once say anything or back chat. You just nod and like do it or whatever. Is that just you?
I'll be honest, that's just my personality. Like that's just me. I don't really take it in any kind of way, because like I said, throughout my whole life, I feel like I've always filled in that kind of particular shoe of the manager. The guy that the manager can get on, say whatever he needs to say, and not get that reaction of giving up, because that's one thing coaches don't. They don't like when they say something to you, and then it gets the wrong reaction.
Yeah.
And me, like my wrong reaction is just running like a madman. If a manager is angry, I'm not gonna go at him. I'm gonna probably go at the next player next to me. Just run at him and try and.
That's true. That's true. Actually, I think you are that type who vents his anger like through his play, like I think that's true. I think that's like it's interesting though, and it's like I think similar to like Lorne. I think actually maybe it is good man management from coaches, but like coach wouldn't get onto Lorne like he would you, same way he wouldn't get onto me, because I think he knows we'd probably back chat or say, can you shut the fuck up? So it's different personalities, I suppose, isn't it?
Obviously, we've touched on your first season playing where you bagged goals, won a team award, and then obviously unfortunately NCAA snaked you and you had to redshirt again. So
snaked, man.
Fuck the NCAA.
Fuck the NCAA.
But then you came back in business senior year. So this is 2019 now. Fucking feels like years ago, but yeah, obviously senior season, your last season going into it. What were you thinking going in?
Going in, I was kind of just thinking, I just wanted to, I saw you, but you, I've got to give shout out to the year before, because that's where the majority of like my motivation came from, just seeing how well Wilmington could actually do. Yeah. I really thought that this, I was just going to be in a bog standard university, just from the fact that we're going to only ever have a few players that were good. We're only going to ever have like, you know what I mean? Just like that kind of first season was just, I would say, no disrespect to Garrett, but what's good, I thought there was going to be three of us that were going to be dangerous up front, I mean, I'm up to only be two of us. And then just seeing like the next season, how good you guys were, and players that all the perceptions I had of players changed because Garrett was unbelievable. We brought in Will, who was unbelievable. Sam Jester stepped up. It's like so many players that stepped up. Cal was playing. Cal stepped up. Elliot stepped up. And you guys had an unreal season that I had to sit back and watch from the sidelines, thinking especially that the two best players from last season are gone going into the season. Really thinking that we're going to have an even worse season last season, end up being the best season in history. I was like, you know what I mean? So going into the season, I was just like, you know what? My cousin can vouch for this. That summer, I would finish work, go to the gym. Like even in times I come back tired, my cousin would wake me up and be like, listen, you got to go to the gym, because he would know what my goals were for that season. So I definitely think that was a big, big motivational thing. That season you guys had the season before kind of gave me a lot.
Do you think, Abs, just quickly, we spoke to Lorne about this, and like, mate, you be honest, be as honest as you can with this. Like, when watching us, obviously from the sideline, knowing you couldn't play, did a part of you, obviously, to be fair, you were actually really fucking good that year, like in terms of supporting and being like there, like, especially with me, you were fucking class with me. Always like saying like, or just always praising and installing confidence. But like, did a part of you want others to fail a bit? So you were a bit like, do you know what I mean? Because Lord did say, obviously you want your mates and your team to do well, but you also, in a selfish point of view, don't want them to do that well or better than you. Do you know what I mean? Did you ever feel a part of that?
The only reason why I didn't want you in particular to do well, I wanted you to do well every single time, game time. That's the thing. One thing about me is that I come back to reality game time. Because like me and you, when it came to training, we were the worst of enemies. Like we were literally, if we were not in the same team, and the thing is, when we were on the same team, I think it went to the point coach stopped doing that, because we wouldn't just get people like physically, like football-wise, but it would be mentally. Like me having me and you in the same team, like I don't think be good for mentally for you. We would be talking rubbish. We'll get into a tackle, look at someone in the face to start flex. Like you know what I mean? Like that's like me and Gareth.
That was never me, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen you do that loads of times.
Not that, but like I do that. But like Gareth does it his own way. You know what I mean? Like when we played against each other, we're just like at each other. And I was just like, I don't want to give this guy a reason to like completely shut me up during training.
Yeah.
And at the time when like you got 10 goals, I remember this. You got more goals than me. I think you got 11 goals. And then I
it was 12 like, actually, but we saw
it. You it was good. Then you started giving it to me because like I think my team must have been winning. And then you looked at me. I remember this particular moment, you were just like 11 goals. And I was like, what? What did you say? And you just ran off.
Abs, do you want to know why I did that? I remember that. The only reason I did that is because I remember the year before, obviously when I had that really shit year at the end, I was giving you some chip and you went, how many goals did you score again this season? And I was like, I will get this motherfucker back. I will get this. You know what I mean? A year later, it was like sweet revenge.
It's really stuff like that, that really kind of like, I would say, what was the, just to start, like, what was the question again?
Motivated. Like, is that the word?
Yeah. That was the main thing that kind of motivated me going into that season. And also, this was what you guys were saying. It was that...
Having to watch us.
What Lorne said about how he wanted to... Yeah, having to watch you. No, I never had that when it came to game time, because I always wanted us to win. Like, during... But when it came to this like little stuff like wanting Garrett to score, I might have been good with seeing Garrett score again. Just because of what I'd get at training. But that was just solely just fun and
compared. I was exactly the same. Like when I wasn't playing the first year, 100% I wanted us to win. But I didn't want you and Lauren to score or play well. So I wanted to get on. I wanted to play. I'm like, I want to fucking play here. So it's and that's not me. But obviously, if you come off scoring a hat-trick, I'm the first one coming up to you saying, like, unreal and that. But, like, during the game, of course, I think anyone with any bit of honesty in them will admit the same thing. You don't actually want the player in your position to do better than you because it's just the fucking the way of the world, isn't it? But,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
Should we move on to the indoor bits?
Give me one second, just like, and cut this one out. I literally just need to message back my boss. Give me 1 second.
Obviously, Abs, you had an unreal senior season, as we briefly touched on. How many goals did you score?
It was 17 goals and 8 assists.
Jeez!
Silly numbers.
You won quite a few awards in that. Obviously, we had an unreal season as a team as well in terms of award winning. And then, obviously, we finished the season December 2019. Then after that, you, obviously, last summer, you signed for a professional indoor team in California.
Yeah.
Ontario Fury.
The Fury.
Talk to us through that.
Philly.
Obviously, a few of us have spoken to you about it and stuff, but a few of the listeners and that have sent in some questions about your time at indoor and stuff. So just talk to us about how it came about and then obviously how this season has gone.
This season didn't go the best for me. It's like a really like love-hate story, like relationship with me and my first season with the Fury because I first started and... there's a whole thing here. Just like when we were in school, it's called being a freshman.
Yeah.
So it's kind of coming in and all that kind of stuff, having to acclimate yourself. Over here, I'm a rookie. So, you know what I mean? You're new. So it's kind of like getting used to coming from college where like I've worked my way through that freshman and all that kind of stuff and being called a freshman and go pick up this and go pick up that.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. So coming here and having to do it all over again. And even when you just finished being the guy who tells people, go pick up the balls after training and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was kind of, it was a rude awakening kind of to remember that even if you're going to go to a higher level, there's still like stripes you got. I came in, I wasn't really playing too much. I was playing under the best, one of the best, if not the best player to play in this league, Frank Tayu. He was a ridiculous player. Moscow won so many awards and all that kind of stuff, MVP. And I was playing under him. So didn't really get as much playing time as I would obviously have hoped, but I kind of worked my way, carried on training, making sure that I had a lot of I learned as much as I could and all that kind of stuff because it was a new game and all that kind of stuff, very different from outdoor. So carried on trying to get myself in the team, and then I'm going to tell you guys the story that to this day, I find hard to get my head around. Like this, you guys know, because in the group chat, I was kind of telling you guys that I wasn't really getting that much squeeze and all that kind of stuff. And I told you guys that game that I was gonna play, which I scored, I was just like, I'm finally gonna get to play. And then I ended up playing, and then I scored. Then when it came to the final, we went into the finals. I thought I had a really good week of training. I was thinking, I hope I play the first game in the finals because there's two games. To decide who wins the whole thing. The first game we didn't really play well. We didn't win, and then two of are some of our best players. Like one that was literally, I would say, like an unbelievable player. Got released right before the last game. Right before the final game. I know, even look, like literally right before
that's
the
like
final.
A, that's like a Jose move, isn't it? That's you a weird one.
But right before, they even put it on the website, like and everything.
Why did they release him? Was he shagging the boss's coach or something?
I can't include. I can't include
the boss's coach.
I don't know. I wasn't at the office. I can't include nothing. So,
do you mean disclose?
Sorry.
Do you mean disclose?
Disclose.
Is this the guy playing ahead of you? The guy playing ahead of you got released.
I reckon. No. I reckon it was another guy. He wasn't even in my position.
Yeah, I reckon you snitched. Do you snitch, bro?
Come on, bro.
Are you snitching? I was coming over to back you.
But yeah, so like, and then what's good? It was like we had a function day, the day before the game, where all like the we had like a function the day before the game, the last game to decide the championship, and then the team owner kind of came up to me and he was just like, don't drink any, don't go around like drinking anything or anything like that, because you know there's a chance you could play a role tomorrow. And I was like, seriously, like I can play? And he was like, yeah, like we finished that thing. The coach kind of told everyone, like even the coach and the parents and all that kind of stuff, that I was going to play and my friend Steven was going to play as well in that game. I played less than 4 minutes in total before this game, going into the final.
Yeah, because it's really short, isn't it, the way they do it? Like,
yeah, like you come on, you come off. Come on, you come off. And yeah, I played in the final and ended up scoring and nearly winning us the whole thing.
Jeez.
Like
I thought you did win it all. You didn't.
No, we lost in the final. Literally, we played the first game, which we won. And then there's a mini game, 15 minutes. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say golden goal, but it's kind of like one half of extra time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that game is the, and it's like, I scored, place went crazy. Everyone went crazy. And then 1 minute after, they score, 1-1. Then our keeper nearly breaks his neck.
Man, I see that, the clip of that. That is mental, that.
Keeper nearly breaks his neck. And then, yeah, and then literally after that happens, we play a keeper that ain't played the whole season. He comes in, and then 1 minute after he comes in, one lucky bounce, the ball gets flown in, one lucky bounce that takes the player through. He just takes one shot, scores, dream's over.
Basically, you're blaming the reserve keeper.
I ain't blaming no one. That's my boy.
Do you enjoy that, the inside stuff though? Do you miss the 11-a-side or how's that?
I do miss the 11-a-side. I'm trying to see I will in due time go play 11-a-side again.
Yeah, you need to.
That's just that. I'll always 11-a-side. I've been playing it for all my life. I watched.
How did it come around, the deal to you go pro indoors? I just don't understand how that's.
Actually, it was weird because me and Elliot got a message from the Harrisburg Heat coach. And I remember Elliot saying, like, kind of going, nah, I ain't going to play indoor and all that kind of stuff. But me, I was just like, you know what? Like, I've been playing indoor.
He probably didn't find my email or something.
Didn't you junk?
So he hit me, Elle, and I think Joe up, saying that you could get us a trial, and then the trial didn't end up happening because they didn't end up having the season. I ended up emailing out and a lot of teams, because I'll be honest, I went back to London and I realised why I was trying to run away to go to college. And then it was just back to just the trenches and having to get by again, and I had to do gardening work when I was back home and all that kind of stuff, and then try and play flipping semi-professional level, like IFMIAN League, because I ended up playing with Haringey Borough for a bit, having to do that with backaches and all that kind of stuff from bending over the whole time playing garden. I was like, this is not my life. Like, I don't...
You're bending over? You're broken off your back for him, bro.
we did get a few questions about the indoor stuff, and one of them I did quite like was, what pro players or players in the Premier League now do you think would be most suited to playing indoor football? And this can go to you two as well. Like, what players do you think? Yeah, or whatever league you want, mate. Yeah, you go for it.
Chris Wood.
this is going to be, obviously, I'm not going to go easy with the Brazilian players like Neymar and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's not playing the Premier.
Philip Foden, perfect. Philip Foden. Philip Foden would heal up this league. Foden is just like, and it's one thing I've realised that that's changed in my game is that we never really use the sole part of our foot to control it.
The soul,
but it's
Manu used to do that, didn't he? He used to like roll it with his
soul for me, brother.
It's very continental, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it's like there's something about it that kind of since I've done it, like I've it's just changed my game so much. Like since I've been training 11 aside again, I've been playing some 11 aside game, but just that particular touch that all of a sudden I'm so used to doing it now because I've been doing it indoor that even when I do it with my studs or boots, I've just seen such a difference in the way I control the ball and the way like I can basically maneuver after I've touched the ball. Because you know,
you'll finally take the ball around. You know, do you reckon you'll finally be able to take me on?
Cause I don't want to talk about what happens when me and you hit the field and I don't.
And you struggle. I find you in my back pocket about an hour later.
You'll see me again. And the thing is, you're saying it now, but you'll see me again. And all those beers that you guys are having right now.
Yeah, it's very true, mate. It's very true. Yeah. It's very true.
So remember, you will see me again.
Two teams very evenly balanced today.
You think so?
I'm asking you.
You think so, really? You think that's a question?
I'm asking because you were smiling with him at the end. Was it an acknowledgement that you fancied?
Smiling because he's my friend. No, I was not speaking about the game. Do you think the game was like that?
I was asking because you were smiling with him.
I can smile if I lose, if I win, if I draw. There's nothing to do. You are asking a question about the game. Do you think the game was like you were saying?
No, that's not what I said. I didn't say what I think. I'm asking you what you think. I'm sorry. That's just what I'm asking.
I'm sorry to say, but it's a silly question.
I think we'll move on to the final little segment, which is we're all going to choose awards, the Premier League awards. So we'll start with, I mean, I think mine are going to be really boring. Like, I just think it's just so obvious. I think it's a player of the year. Carl, who are you going for?
I'm going for Harry Kane, mate.
Harry Kane. Al?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone for Harry Kane as well. Because I think he's just a great player.
He's a great player. He's got so many goals.
He's got so many goals.
Yeah, Harry Kane. It's like I wasn't gonna pick Harry Kane, but it's just like when you guys have said it, I'm just really trying to think of a player who.
Who else did you have? Abs?
Oh, I've got a different one.
Well, yeah, I thought I know who you have. I reckon.
Fucking Van Dijk, isn't he?
I've gone for Matheus Pereira. I've gone for Diaz, man. It's fucking obvious.
I can understand why you would go for him, but Harry Kane is the right answer. So
I just can't have someone who's finished eighth as Prem Prior.
Hold on, we're sick. We can finish as low as ninth, but we can finish as high as fifth as well.
You're gonna finish eighth. So that's who I mean. And then young player of the year, I'm going Diaz again because he qualifies for that. So I honestly think he'll win both.
Does he qualify for it, is he?
Yeah, he's 23, isn't he?
Fucking hell.
23 and under. So, Abs, who you got for young player of the year?
What have I done with my life?
Mason. Mason Mount. It's passable to Mason Mount.
Does he qualify? Pass.
Yeah, he's 21, I think. 21, 22.
Pass that ball to Mason
Mount. He's at least 23.
Mason Mount.
Imagine being Mason Mount's age and carrying Chelsea. Ruben Diaz don't carry...
22, he's 22.
I really believe
Ruben,
that boy.
You don't think Ruben Diaz has been like game changing for City?
He has been. He's been unreal without a doubt. Because like I think that's one thing that City was always missing. Like, just that player, that centre back who's going to give you performances every single time.
Yeah. So, Abs, just to clear it up, right? You're going for Harry Kane and Mason Mount. So Diaz gets nothing.
Yeah, Diaz.
You got to go through all the awards for him.
My young player of the season.
Yeah,
I've gone Lamella. He's like 22 still. So yeah. No, I've gone Foden. I've gone Foden. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, Foden's unreal, but he started about 15 games. That's a good one, Cal.
I've got Foden as well, mate. I just think the boy is
next.
I don't know how that's idiotic. Sorry.
No, I love, mate. You know how much I love Phil Foden, but
marry him then.
It's a year. It's the whole year. He's played 15 games. He started 15
games. He's played 26.
And started 15.
Yeah, but how unreal has he been when he's played in the league?
Yeah, unreal. But you have any Mervin Diaz?
As a young player, yeah.
But Diaz qualifies, so it's either Foden or Diaz.
Yeah, but he's older. Foden's younger, so. Okay, I'll give Foden the youngest player of the season, and then Diaz is the young player of the season.
So, right, signing of the season, Elliot.
Diaz.
Yeah. Abs.
Diaz.
Cal.
Yeah, Diaz.
See, I've
here we go.
I'm trying to think. I'm stuck on this because I've chose Diaz in both. So I'm gonna try and switch it up. I'm just trying. Do you know what I'm gonna go for? Suchek.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna fucking say that. Not
it. Suchek. Mate, he was cheap as well, man.
Just to be different. That's what it is, like, bro.
Mate, he has been good, and West Ham have been solid, so you can understand. Yeah,
what a signing he's been. I think we'll swiftly move on to manager of the year. Who, look, the boring choice is obviously Pep, but I am going to go for David Moyes.
Moyes.
What is he?
What the fuck has gone on there, Abs?
Whenever you're ready to come to me.
Go on, Abs. Manager of the year.
Thomas Tuchel.
Shut the fuck up, bro.
He's been there for like four games. Like, turn your light back on, for fuck's sake. Is someone not paid your electric?
He's trying to save his electric.
Thomas Tuchel.
Shut up, man.
He's in.
Be serious.
I'm being deadly. Deadly.
Hear him out, man.
Like, Pep needs to win them Champions League for me to even give him that. So at the
Pep
point,
needs to win the Champions League to be the Premier League manager of the season.
But he needs to win. But let's go. Let's say we win the.
You lost 5-2 to Albion under Tuchel.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter. If we want to do that, we can talk about when Pep lost to us, to the guy that I'm talking about right now.
Who's lifting the trophy?
Huh?
I know, he won in the league as well, didn't he? But,
who's lifting the trophy?
Tuchel.
Wait, Abs, I don't disagree, mate. I think it's a good shout. He's had a good impact, didn't he?
Shut up, El. You twat.
you're going to give it to Pep, but what if we win Champions League and FA Cup?
Yeah, it's the Premier League manager of the season. I think you need to get this in your head.
Yeah, but Tuchel's still in the Premier League. It's about, let's be honest. Okay, cool. Premier League. If we're just talking Premier League, then that means that Whoever wins it is gonna be manager of the year every single year.
No, that's not true.
Why isn't that true?
Because I think David Moyes, because he's completely outperformed and outdone what anyone thought of West Ham to a different level, hasn't he? People thought they were gonna go down, and they're on the brink of top four.
Nah, you're wrong, mate.
You're wrong.
Okay, so using your logic. If England win the Euros, right, and Harry and Foden scores 30 goals, should he win Premier League Player of the Year?
Yeah. And Tuchel.
Your logic is your logic, man. That's what makes you unique.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to listen. I'm tapping. So, Tuchel comes in.
Abs, you've got Tuchel. You've got Tuchel, man. I agree with you.
Oh, without doubt. I'm just like, you can't deny.
Let's just move on from this kid.
All right. this is what I mean. He will never change.
Kyle, who you got?
Go on, Al. No, let him finish. Go on, Al. What are you gonna say?
No, I'm actually done. I was gonna go 3 points I already made. It's kind of good you stopped.
Kyle, go on.
I've gone for David Moyes as well, mate. They've actually been unreal this year. And he made some like really like massive signings that have taken him to that next level. So I think that's a simple one. As much as I love Pep, and I think maybe he probably will get it, but yeah. It's Moise.
Al?
I've gone Mourinho. Because we were top of the league around like Christmas time. So
yeah, you did have a title charge for about 3 days, didn't you? That was
decent. No, I've got Moise as well, as much as I didn't want to put him down because he's fucking wished in, but
Yeah, you like West Ham, don't you? From where you're from, it's like proper West Ham, isn't it?
Yeah, West Ham.
West Ham.
Poor blimey, geezer, mate. No, yeah, I've gone Moyes because of the reasons that you listed. I mean, he's obviously going to be Guardiola.
So you're copying me?
No.
Trying to be like you.
I thought of the ideas before you did, but you just voiced them before me. You said it louder, basically.
I think, obviously, that wraps up the award pretty. We've only chose four. I think...
What about Nobed of the season? Like, who's been someone who's been a Nobed this year?
Oh,
that's a good one, Al.
oh, God. Who's been Nobed of the season?
Oh, Aguero.
Why has he been a Nobed?
Aguero. He doesn't play the whole season. You know what I mean?
Listen,
Aguero, we feel what you've done for the club. We feel what you've done.
Are you saying he's Nobed of the season?
Get yourself on against Chelsea. Win us the cup against our Champions League final rivals. Get us there, Aguero. We're giving you the penalty. You don't deserve it. You ain't done shit all season. We don't deserve it, but we're gonna give it to you.
Yeah, that's a good
and
shout.
And you try and Panenka.
Yeah. That's a good shout. That's actually not a bad shout. I'd go for Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, I can understand that.
All the whinging and crying he did about, like, when you remember when he got schooled on BT by what's his face? Like, yeah. Even a Nobed all season, and let's have it right. Yeah. I like Klopp as well, but Jesus.
Nobed. You know what I might go for? I'm going for Xhaka. He's just a fucking Nobed, isn't he?
Yeah, for what he did. Remember when he got sent off and that? He's a dickhead, isn't he? Or Arteta's up there as well.
I'm going to go for Wilfried Zaha, just because he is one of the biggest Nobeds in football, I reckon.
Yeah. I saw a video the other day, because obviously Southampton played Palace, didn't they? It was yesterday?
I'll be honest, he is the most He's the most undervalued,
rated
player in the Premier League. Like, all people talk about is everything he does outside the field, and he doesn't even do anything that bad.
No, but even
he just tries to square up to everyone every week.
On the pitch, Habs, he's just always moaning. He's always moaning, man. Always.
Ronaldo was moaning his whole like.
Yeah, I can understand moaning, but Zaha won't win a free kick, and then he's like. And they're not giving it to the ref and giving it to
they're trying to fight someone.
By the way, Cal, in every single chat at Champions League, you're on the group chat talking about how unreal Neymar is. That's all the guy does. Zaha be black and do it. That's the black lives matter.
Right, I think that'll wrap up today's episode. Cal, Elliot, cheers for coming on again, boys. Good set.
Yeah, that's all, lads.
Abs, you're a legend, bro. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Big sexy.
Appreciate you. I had so much fun, man. It was so good to catch up.
Yeah, good to catch up with you. Go through your wild, crazy story. We will, at the end of this, be playing his wanking video and all the other videos we've got of us.
The thing is, you do that, now people are going to be actually asking for it. Stop.
No, I think they've been deleted like years ago, mate. They got deleted.
I'll just put a video of you scoffing honey buns up. That's all I'll do.
You love the honey buns. So, yeah, boys, I think we're going to take a break next week. And then we will be back the week after. So we're going to have a little die down because I'm on holiday next week anyway, so I can't do the podcast.
How is it? Where are you off to then, son?
I'm Blackpool, yeah?
I'm in Centre Parks. In Centre Parks.
Sheboygan, Butlins.
Yeah. So, yeah, boys, thanks for watching. Put in the comments your favourite Abdul moment. And just quickly, Abs. And what's your thoughts on Fred? Obviously, we're building Fred up to the 5,000. When we get 5,000 subs, we're going to get Fred on. Like, and people think we're joking about him. Like, what? Just give us a quick description of Fred.
Abs, in three words, describe Fred.
Yeah, three words.
Three words. Nutty. Ginger. Twat. That's like... Fred was my roommate. Just know when Fred comes in here, it's gonna go off. That's me, it's gonna go off. That's it.
It's gonna go off.
today's episode. So yeah, boys, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Cheers, lads.
Bye bye.